hits. I'm like, damn, I'm good. Mm-hmm. It's my birthday in January. We got the second liners ball. You know what I'm saying? I'm like taking like 3 weeks of work off. Like, I hate the post office. And I'll talk about it later.
Weeks. Yeah, I know. No.
Man, look. Man, hey, I be using sick leave. I be using veteran leave.
I don't think like, you're supposed to say that on air, sir.
Ask him. I've been doing it for 5 years now. Ain't nobody called me HR yet.
What up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I'm Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, joined with my co-host, Buff and Rizzy. Fellas, welcome back. I missed y'all.
It feels weird not recording for a week. So, like, we recorded the live show right before Mardi Gras. And so we really didn't have to record through the week going into this past Monday. And it did. It felt kind of weird. And then we went all the way to the weekend. So it feels like we haven't talked in 2 weeks. It's crazy. A lot of things have happened since then, and we really didn't get a chance to open up at the beginning of the show with the Woo-isms crew. So, man, it's just been a lot. I'm glad I had a great time at Mardi Gras with you brothers. That was so fun. And the only thing I got to say is this ain't Texas. We don't hold them. So
yeah,
Beyonce, she man, she she is out there pissing the white people off, or the unseasoned chickens, as Wu calls them. She has pissed those folks off to no end, because she said she is the first black woman to hit number one on the country music charts. And that's without some country stations playing her, because they have refused to play her song because they say they don't play Beyonce. I don't know what it is about Beyonce, just something is holding them back from playing a country song from a girl from Houston that, you know, has rode horses and all that stuff. I mean, it reminds me of this group called Chapel Heart. I don't know if you guys know about them, but they were a black trio that sung country, and they were like, they couldn't get any traction from it. And so I think Beyonce said, I'm going to use my stardom, and they can't ignore me. And so shout out to her, man. It's actually not a bad song. I do like country anyway. And so it's not a great country song, but again, that's what happens when you have that stardom. You can drop a mediocre song for somebody who's unknown and still hit the charts. And so that's exactly what happened. And she's going to be there for a while, because I think her whole album is supposed to be country themed. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun thing to watch.
So it's always cool to see artists step out their comfort zone and do something different.
Yeah, yeah. But speaking of artists, did you guys enjoy the Usher Super Bowl halftime? And like, where do you rank it on like Super Bowl performances?
I thought it was very good. We had a follower on our Facebook page that thought it was awful. But I thought it was very good. It's hard to rank without watching some of the other ones, so you don't have that recency bias of his. So it's up there. If I had to critique it, he may have tried to do a little too much. Like some of the songs, you only got like one or two bars from it, and then he jumped to the next song.
Yeah.
But I thought he did a great job for the limited time that, you know, the Super Bowl gives you for that halftime show. So it was good. It's up there.
I think it's top five.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Top five, maybe even top three. Off the top of my head, you got Prince and MJ, right? And then you start to try to figure out where does he fit in between that or after that. I think he did a really, really good job. Kind of what you were saying, he played a lot of hits, and it just displayed his catalog. It was, hey, I got so much. Just like when we talk about Versus. Mm-hmm. You also get who can battle somebody. I think the Super Bowl was a great example of, I have so many hits that I can't fit it all in, and things that people can relate to. And I think it it spanned generations. Like, I remember he played stuff when we were probably still teenagers, early 20s, to things that were popping in the streets now. Like, it just expanded. And then the guest he brought out, it just took you down memory lane. And I think for me and my age group is probably the most relatable one, because even with MJ and Prince, I love the performances, but it was more nostalgia for an older crowd. It was kind of just recognizing the greatness of yesteryear. Like, you know, I didn't grow up a Prince fan when I was, you know, 18, 19, 20. You know, I respected his music, but I wasn't trying to go out and see him in concert. This was it. Usher was my time period. So for us, I kind of related to it more. He skated. He had strippers. I mean, what else do you want? he had a dude about to do Easter speech out there. Jermaine Dupri. That was hilarious. I mean, that was probably the funniest part, because so many people thought that was CeeLo.
I did too. Not even gonna lie. I never thought it was CeeLo. But I saw something where somebody was saying that we know we've gotten old when we're the target demographic for the Super Bowl halftime show. Like, that lets you know that we are the median demographic or the median generation right now, because that's who they're looking to. Millennials have kind of taken over as the block that people want. So I like it.
I'm a Xennial, by the way.
That's all you got, Rosie?
That's it, man.
All right. So we had a bit of a tough week up here. This past Tuesday, Tabitha went to the gym, and as she's getting ready to go in there, you know, she puts her bag under her seat because she doesn't want to carry it in the gym. Goes to work out, come back out, window's been busted. Somebody took it. And so, you know, she calls and they finally catch the guy, and they call her and they said, hey, are you missing, you know, your bag or whatever? Can you tell us what the contents are in it? And she verified it and wound up getting on the phone with the bank manager. He was like, just give me your PIN to your debit number so we can make sure if you made any purchases, we can cancel that and stuff. So everything worked out on that end. Everything about that story was true except for the Tabitha part. I told that story like that because for the listeners, if you were listening and you heard that story and said, oh man, I'm glad everything worked out, and didn't catch the con in that story, mm-hmm. then that's why I told it for you. You don't give your PIN to anybody.
That's why I was kind of confused. I'm like, is that?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
So I didn't want to start off by saying, hey, you know, this was a con, because the reason why so many people fall victim to cons is because everybody thinks they're too smart to fall for a con. And in this digital age that we're in, it is like con artists and fraud people is at an all-time high of catching people. I want to say like the numbers in the millions or the billions as far as, you know, what the monetary value is. But I just want people to be on the lookout. Don't be so arrogant to think that it can't happen to you, because it can. There are some very, very sophisticated scams out there that are out to get you. Computer, phone, anything electronic, they can use it to get you. So I just wanted to put that warning out there and just do it in a different way like that, by telling that story like that. So that's all I got with that, other than I see a lot of people complaining about Mia Culpa on Netflix by Tyler Perry. You don't have to watch that. There's a good movie out there called Waves that came out 5 years ago. I just heard about it. I just was scrolling and saw my man Sterling K. Brown. I was like, oh, I like him. This is us. And it's a different type of movie. Like, the way it's filmed, the way it's shot, the way they tell the story is very different from a typical film. So it's worth your time. I can't do it justice with telling you what it's about, other than just telling you, hey, if you like Sterling K. Brown as an actor, if you like This Is Us and his role in that, he's in it. The movie does deal with like grief and forgiveness and things that teenagers go through on a real life basis. That's about the most I can tell you, but I can't do it justice. Just give it a watch. See if it's something you like. But it's called Waves. It's on Netflix now. And it's so good now. I've become a fan. The guy who directed it is Trey Edward Schultz. And I'm like, he's directed two other films before this. One is called It Comes at Night. So like, I just want to watch all of his work now, because again, I can't speak enough to how it was just shot and how the story was told and everything. So those are that's a really, really good movie to check out. And again, you don't have to check out Mia Coppola. I mean, you've free to check out Mia Coppola if you want to, but I watched 20 minutes of it and I had to throw the deuces.
Well, speaking of Sterling K. Brown, did either of you go to see American Fiction? I haven't had a chance to, so
I did not go to see it. I did stream it. I apologize. Yes. It's just been crazy around here. But that was going to be my segue. I think it's a smart movie. You know, I don't think we can say that a lot. I think it's a smart movie. It's very well written. It's one of those movies you have to pay attention to, and you got to think while you're watching it. Similar to the next movie I was going to recommend was Book of Clarence. Have either one of you seen that?
I haven't seen that one.
I haven't.
So it think about a, it's like a hood, I wouldn't even say gospel movie. Like it's such a hood movie just set in biblical times. It's just like the little things. I'll just give you an example of some of this, like little moments where it's like being stopped and frisked by the police. You know, let me see your papers and stuff like that. Oh, we're stopping you because you fit the description, you know, and the description is like way off and all this stuff, but it's still the stuff that you deal with and all that stuff that we deal with today. He just took a spin on it and put it in, you know, 33 AD. So it's pretty good. I think the soundtrack's super dope. I was talking to Z, we watched it last night, and it was, the soundtrack is very, it's unique. I think it's very eclectic. It sounds like something that Keith Stanfield would have in one of his movies. And it was, we were joking because there was a scene in one of the songs like, this is what, this soundtrack sounded like what we wanted the Andre album to be. when you listen, when you watch it, like you get it, like I can see Andre recording something, Drake recording something like that. And last but not least, when it comes to recommendations, and I haven't finished watching it, but The Last Airbender, we're two episodes in. I'm so super excited. I'm already ready for season two. I don't know if they picked it up, but I see no reason they won't. It's what we wanted in the movie, but I think it works out better with this live action because you're probably getting what, 5, 6, maybe even 7 hours worth of movie and material. Mm-hmm. So, but those are my three recommendations. Last two things, man, it's been crazy the last few weeks. These stories are just jaw dropping. One, did you guys see about the mother in Tennessee that got arrested for highlighting her teaching her daughter a trade? She's an esthetician. And so esthetician does skincare and things like mm-hmm. that. And so for Valentine's, she knew it was going to be, and her daughter like really loves it. So for Valentine's, she had her 5-year-old daughter help her with her clients. So her daughter, 5 years old, bikini waxed 24 grown adult women, and she bragged on it. And she was bragging on it and talking about, like, you know, bossing up, teaching her a trade and a business and become an entrepreneur. And insert little girl's name here, just made $750. You know, I'm teaching her how to do with her money and all that stuff. And she got arrested. People, mm-hmm. she put it on Instagram. People thought it was crazy. They're actually looking for some of the clients to see if there's any charges they can bring against them for indecent exposure to a minor. But there's a lot of things going on. You have people both appalled and defending her actions. So I think that might be a subject for another day. But I was just trying to see if you guys heard about that.
Yeah, I heard about it. But the crazy part about it is it's hard to defend that. So
yeah, But it was on some bossing up. I thought you were like, well, what did she do wrong? I was like, eh, we need to talk offline. But it was kind of like, she's bossing up. I'm trying to teach her a trade, yada, yada, yada. And it's, first of all, she's five. I'm like, why isn't she in school? Like, this was middle of the week. Tennessee. They don't get Mardi Gras off. This was, you know, I'm trying to say, why? And then she worked from, she said 24 clients, maybe from 7-8 o'clock that morning to 5. So it was like an 8-9 hour work day. It was just crazy. And so,
well, I mean, you get around child labor laws because it's her actual child working in her own company or own, or, you know, her business. So you can do that part of it, even the 8 hours. But it's like you say, the idea that you're exposing that child to, you know, adult genitalia at that age is where, you know, they're having a touch and that type of thing. Yeah, that could be some really creepy stuff going on. And like you said, the clients, I judge them a little bit.
I judge them a lot.
You know, because I don't feel like there's a modest way. I've never got a Brazilian, so I don't think there's a modest way to get a Brazilian, especially with a 5 year old. So the charges include child neglect and child abuse. So they did take action really quickly. I saw it probably Wednesday or Thursday of last week. And then within a matter of days, like it spiraled. People wanted to get some kind of resolution because they were saying that's just so super inappropriate. But and last but not least, did you guys hear about the school in North Carolina, West Charlotte High School, and their Black History
Whites only door, black only?
Yeah. They took it down. So for people that don't know, West Charlotte High School has taken down a classroom door display that recreated a segregation-era Sears department store entrance. The doors were labeled colored entrance and white entrance and were part of a lesson for Black History Month. It is very interesting that... there's a lot of different views on this. I actually, when I saw it, I went through a myriad of emotions. Like, I don't completely know where I stand on it. Part of it almost like depends on the color of the teacher who posted it. You know, I went that far trying to figure out how I felt about it. I know we don't have time to talk about it today, but I do want to revisit this as well. Later on, and teaching lessons and stuff like that, especially as we continue to take historical context, historical facts out of our schools, you know, what are we doing to teach our students? So,
art and iconography and visually appealing statements make a difference, and it hits home. And like you said, you had those mixed emotions about them being shown and everything like that. Kids these days have never experienced that, right? Like, we never really experienced that. Like, growing up in the South, we might have seen some overt racism a little bit more, but I think it's one of those things that having those types of displays, now if they were making the kids actually walk through those different doors type thing, I think would be a little bit much. But to just have that display, I liked it. I saw it. I was like, I want more of that. My kids going to, you know, a very mixed school, but predominantly white elementary school. Like, I would want to see something like that because I need the kids to see and understand and feel what that looks like. Like, to understand that they literally segregated you and you couldn't walk through the same door.
And that's where I'm leaning more towards. And since you began the conversation, I'm gonna hit on a little bit, and I definitely want to go deeper into this on another show. But that's, I think, where I ended up. And I'll take it one step further. You said you don't want them walking through the door. Maybe they need to feel that. And because people say that it's gonna make the Black kids feel bad, it's gonna hit Black kids anyway. You know who I wanted to think about? I wonder how the white kids react. I wonder how that affected their psyche. You know, was it a joke to them? Because I'm pretty sure a lot of the Black, it might have been a joke initially, but then for some of the Black kids, but there was a lot that took it to heart. And it's how are the white kids seeing this? And I'm in Houston. We have a very diverse background. You know, we have a lot of blacks, whites, Hispanics. All I want to see what happens when a Hispanic student walks to that door and they're like, where do I go? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much that goes into that rather than just, you know, now there's people. Is this the same teacher that might have got fined 5 years ago for wearing blackface? I don't know. Like, you know, it depends on your intent, your overall intent and your knowledge. Like, if somebody like you guys who are very deep and really want to impact did something like this, I'm behind it 100% because I can sit down and have that conversation with that parent, right? Versus just like, you know, I thought it would just be cool to have, you know, I was watching something the other day and I saw a series and I saw the colored only and the white only. I thought it'd be a cool exhibit. And, you know, you can't defend the psyche and the overall lesson. But I think it's a really, it's an interesting conversation, to say the least, mm-hmm. you know, no matter, because it's part of our history, whether they want to, it hurts feelings or not. You know, you weren't worried about hurting feelings when you were, you know, chasing kids down and all. I don't even want to get into it. I'm about to get mad. Buff, you had anything you want to say on that?
I was just going to say, I want to revisit American Fiction after Rozzy watches it. I have some critiques on it, and I'd love to see what you guys and the listeners think about it.
I'll make sure I watch it before we record next week.
So I'll watch it again too, because it was one of those movies you had to watch, and you had a lot of moments. So
cool, yeah, I get it. But I was just gonna say, speaking of interesting conversations, you know, we flipped the script and we actually let Wooisms interview us in the first half of the conversation, and so I flipped the conversation for our listeners. So you guys last week heard the second half of the conversation where we were actually kind of doing the interview and we were leading the conversation. But it was a very interesting conversation with letting Wooisms and Woo and Hess lead the conversation. So we can jump into that at this point and go ahead and experience the conversation of being interviewed by Wooisms.
Yeah! What it do, what it do, what it do, baby! It's your boy Woo.
It's your boy Big Hess, man.
Hey, man. My bad, man. I forgot, man. You know what I'm saying? We got like a studio full today, so me and the great Bishop over here, we're actually sharing microphones because we're being a great host and showing some nice Southern hospitality, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. So we acting like we've been talking about the Temptations the last 2 weeks. So now we shoo-dooping around one mic.
Shoo-dee-doo.
Yeah, it's always wild how like they were so coordinated. Like the choreography was just ridiculous. I love you too. I love you too. And we got a live studio audience.
I know, man. We ain't never had like guests in here. Like, I feel like that episode of Martin where he was like Joe to see, he ran in the crowd and, you know what I'm saying? Like, ooh, yeah,
that was what's dude name? I don't know. The thing that sticks out is the radio interview on that episode.
Oh, you talking about with
Tommy Davidson when they were he said, "Yeah, man, I got Barnett. Lake in the back. I got Lake in the back." Yeah, Barnett, I got Lake in the back. I just, you know, get fresh catfish every day. He's like, "Yeah, they just slice them, dice them, fry right there on the spot." It's like, he was like, "What?" And in the 90s, I guess that was a real big thing. But
for us right now, I'm hungry. I'm starving. I ain't even ate since that sample plate last night at Sneaker Bar. But we're going to talk about that a little bit. You know what? I hope this like the one time Amberly does not listen to the episode when she posts it. Because if she does, she's going to be like, "Nigga, you ain't like the food." Yeah, I liked it the little bit that I could taste. But you know what I'm saying, man? Like, I'm sitting here, man. You know, we're back with another installment of this thing known as Wooisms, and we're on episode 192. Yeah, 192 episodes later, man. We're still here, man. We appreciate everybody for rocking with us and tuning in. And, you know, I just, like I said, I got the great privilege of sitting next to my good friend, my good brother, everybody's favorite Bishop, that voice that sits behind that silhouette that talks like the guy from the deep voice is like, I got your insurance from Geico. That guy. Yeah, the Allstate guy. Sean does that, but he does that on Fatal Attraction. Like, he still gets checks from Fatal Attraction. And all he read was like a paragraph. It was like, oh yeah, I seen him coming down the street. And then they pan to the dude walking down the street. Yeah, that was Sean did that. I appreciate you, good brother, the bishop. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I do what I can. Look, man, I'm sitting next to the good brother, man, the dark man Wu himself, yeah. Evil Knievel. Yeah, Rabbi. Long hair, don't care. Black Fabio.
For the guest over there.
Yeah, Mr. Did he die though? I don't know. I don't know. The good brother. Kendrick. Oh. Wooten. What's happening?
Hey, brother. Appreciate it, man. But look, we got three great guests in the building with us today. Our OGs. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't for these guys, man, we wouldn't be in the podcast realm that we're in today. So it's a privilege and an honor to at least have two of them, because I've been knowing one man for like forever. I mean, it was just like, sometimes it was like, do I really want to know this guy? You know, long nights, long dark nights. And, I mean, they say Omega Sci-Fi is a non-hazing organization. Yeah. but yeah, man, we got the good brothers. I don't know. Can I give y'all? No, I ain't gonna get that government name.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, man.
You know, we got Tavoris Ferguson, we got Byron Evans, and we have Orazio Macarella. These brothers are Ferg, Buff, and Rizzy, the Three Brothers No Sense Podcast, our OGs, man. Appreciate y'all for being in the building with us today.
Our pleasure, man.
We glad to be here, bro.
Yeah, man. It's about to be fun. Wooten already had us take one shot. I'm not taking any more today. I'm just going to let y'all know I'm still recovering from the sneaker ball. But
hey, man, look. This is Mardi Gras season. You only stop when you go to sleep at night.
Bruh. I ain't built like that no more. I'm old. I'm old, bruh.
You only old as you think you are, sir.
Speaking I think I'm old.
that's your well, third time this week. Calling us old.
I didn't call y'all old.
You keep saying OG?
Man, that's a privilege. Cause look.
Hey, he ain't calling us unk.
Man, look. That is true.
True. My bad, that's on me.
So, you know, I used to coach, right? I used to coach in the city before I just like stopped doing that because my daughter, you know, she wanted to be active at LaFleur. So of course I had to be the good parent and support her. So I had to stop coaching. So I see these little kids out, man. They be like, man, what's up, Cole Wu? You an OG now? I'm like, bro, I'm only 38. Damn, you old. They hit me with that Kevin Hart, what he did. They're like, damn. But yeah, man, how y'all good brothers doing, man?
Man, we cooling, man. You know you getting old. We got a homeboy that lives in L.A., Bird's cousin. I'll never forget this. He said, I knew I was getting old when I was playing basketball with some youngins. And one of them said, pass the ball, old school.
And he was like, oh, he talking to me.
That's what he knew. He was transitioning, dog.
Oh, man.
Well, just for the record, he's my older cousin. So, okay. So I still got a little bit of time.
So shout out to Hooli, man. He listens to the show. Oh, he has a dope podcast as well, if I can plug it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Truth Be Told Sports, man. They doing numbers. They a pretty big deal, man. So shout out to him.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. You know, the first plug free, the next one, man, we're going to have to talk about price.
Gotta get that paper, baby.
Oh, man. But look, man, we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump into these mental checks, man. This part of the episode is in memory of our good brother. And the good thing about Three Brothers No Sense, man, and everybody in this room, is that everybody's from Mobile. You know what I'm saying? The heart, you know, the birthplace of Mardi Gras. That's why these brothers are here, man. We're going to talk about where we was at last night and all that in a little bit. But, you know, everybody knows Montrez Slater, man. So rest in peace to our good brother, late Gay Slate. And at this time, we're going to go into what we call checking in. We're going to go around the room on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being your lowest, 10 being your highest. You know, a lot of colored people always say, I'm on 100. No, man, we just going to keep it at 10. All right? Keep it at 10. And yeah, we just gonna get it up all our chest, man. You know, a lot of times men don't like to talk about our mental and where we at. So we like to get in tune with that. If y'all don't mind.
Yeah.
See, light skin, I always gotta take it to another level.
Am I the only? I am the only light skin.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You said I've been over here. I've been over here patting my forehead. You ain't broken out of one sweat bead.
With a jacket off.
Man, so we gonna throw it all the way across the room to Ferg, man. Ferg on a scale of 1 to 10, bro. Where you at? Check in.
I'm gonna say a 9 just because I'm on vacation. Family. Only thing that can make this day better if I was a little less sober and hungover from last night, if I was refreshed. So I'm good, man. This is what we need.
I'm going to also go with a 9. The only thing that'll make it a 10 if I ever get the money to get a private jet, then it'll be a 10. But I'm at a 9 right now. I just had a birthday, man. And I'm telling you, last week, I couldn't even walk. I just woke up with
My knee
just gave out on me, dog. Like I had to schedule orthopedic appointment and everything. Like I couldn't walk, and I just prayed to get better because I was like, yo, I might have to cancel this trip and everything. Like I literally could not walk. I think it was from doing some lunges. I ain't doing no more lunges with weights anymore. But I'm just happy to be healthy again, man, and see another year. So I'm having a good time down here in Mobile. Had a great time last night. So a 9, a solid 9.
Man, that's a blessing. When was your birthday, brother?
This past Thursday.
Okay.
February 8th.
Okay. February 8th.
Man. Hey, look, I appreciate that, bro. You know what I'm saying? Aquarius season. I was January 25th, man. So, you know. Yeah, okay, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, appreciate it. You know, Aquarius men, either they get along or they don't. So. As of right now, we good.
Y'all good, y'all good. I mean,
salute.
I am hating on the hair.
Why?
That's not your problem. That's my problem.
Other than that, but look, you got a full, luscious beard, bro. I was growing a beard. I cut it off because it wasn't connecting. So then when I cut it, it started connecting. I was like, why you weren't doing this when I had a beard? You know what I'm saying? But you know, your beard is very nice, brother.
No, it's very nice. I'm gonna keep with the word you chose earlier.
Luscious. Yeah, that is a luscious beard, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see no gray in it. Like,
yeah. People, people think I dye my beard. I've never dyed my beard. And I'm like, why y'all want me having a gray beard too? I already don't have hair. So I already been humbled once. Let me have my black beard, bro, man.
I ain't mad, because I got like some gray pants. I was like, all right, I'm going to cut it. Now I had these gray strands.
There's a string or two in there.
I can't see.
I ain't got the full salt and pepper yet.
My gray coming in. I love it. Yeah, I don't know why y'all talking. Like, I mean, it is what it is.
I'm just saying, man, my hair left me. It said it was going to the store and it'll be right back.
Here,
we can
get some milk.
Yeah. Yo, I went to go get some milk and ain't no return.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll be right back.
Look.
What do you think?
Luckily, my wife decided to stay with me, man. So, but yeah, my hair lied to me.
Blessing to that queen, man.
Hey, man. Never came back, bro.
It's all right, brother. Look, man. So... My dad and my older brothers, like, they all went bald in their 20s. So I was like, I just prayed to God. I was like, God, please don't let me, like, I'm already dark skinned. I'm kind of obese. Like, I don't want to be bald too.
Is that what I should have did? Because mine was so embarrassing. So matter of fact, Rosie was with me at this moment. We went to go visit my homeboy that used to be locked up. Mm-hmm. He's out now. We was going to visit him, and I was walking ahead of everybody. And so it was a young lady that came with us because she was kind of like seeing him. She came with us. So I'm walking ahead of them and she said, Byron, you getting bald. I was like, oh, loud. I'm like, oh, damn. I guess it's time to let it go.
At least you let it go, man. So, some people fight.
Yeah, man. That was
yeah. So, man, I don't know. I was like, so I got people asking me, well, how long you gonna keep your locks? But until they start parting ways, that's all I know. Because it be some of these dudes, man, like they got one lock strand over here. There's a patch growing over. I'm like, nah, that ain't going to be
good
me.
Good old Stevie.
Yeah. All
Hey, none of Stevie's friends telling him the truth, man. None of them.
They like, man, this nigga got all these and number ones.
Right here. Yeah.
He going to take a L sooner.
And which one? It's Stevie that ain't blind, right? Blind. He not blind. Nope. So he should be able to see.
Byron swears to Stevie's.
Stevie don't want to lose out on that disability. I'll be blind.
That's how you get that 100%.
Yeah. See?
There you go.
Hey, man, that's what's up, man. So we got two brothers on nine. Where you at, Ry?
I'm going to go with an eight. So I'm going to bring it down a little bit. I'm enjoying it. I'm glad I'm home or whatever. I'm glad I was able to get away from work and all of that and quiet the noise, take the time or whatever. But, you know, it's my dad's not here and all of that. That's hard. So this was a big time for him and everything. He loved Mardi Gras. You know, him and my mom, they had the Mardi Gras store and all of that and everything. And so being here and trying to get everything together for the parade we're going to be in on Monday, all of that, man, it's a little bit weighing on me, but at the same time, man, it's just good. It's good to be here. Can't complain about life. Can't complain about work, job, kids doing great. They got their progress reports and got all A's. They're joking on each other because Ollie got a 96 and Sophie told him he needs to get good because he needs to get up to a 98. So I like that my kids are pushing each other. They're holding each other accountable. It's good, man. Life is good.
Shit, I mean, when I was in school, I was just trying to get a C. It was like, your 96 ain't good enough.
Well, Rozzy, I'm going to give you a little something to think about. So what, similar to you, lost a lot of loved ones along the way. You know, so Mardi Gras being home brings me back to remembering them. But the beautiful thing is being able to create those memories with your kids. So, you know, one day your kids will be bringing their kids and stuff back to Mardi Gras. You know, growing up in Dallas, I remember that was one of the rare family trips we made, was just like every year coming to Mardi Gras. So now for them, when we come to Mardi Gras, making that more of a family trip, something that we're doing traditionally, you know, start bringing that on. And you're like, even though your dad's not here, he is here because he's living through you and the things that you're doing for your kids. So, you know, I pass through different areas of town, and my dad's old shop's around the corner. You know, we used to park there for Mardi Gras. His old house is down the street. We used to host there for Mardi Gras. So too close to be comfortable, but also just having my kids here and just like, as you get older, start to create those memories with your kids, man. You're doing everything right. So
8.5. There you go.
That's so cute, man.
It definitely gives you mixed feelings.
I love both parents.
So like coming home is like, it gives you mixed feelings. So I definitely understand what you're coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that was kind of like one reason why like I couldn't leave like Mobile when I came back, because you know I was still in F. Fort Hood when my dad passed away in 2014, and so it was just like, you know, I came back home and I was just like, man, I'm gonna make sure I get everybody straight, and then I'm just gonna leave because I can't deal with it. Yeah, I'm still here, you know what I mean? So I mean, it weighs different on everybody for sure. You know what I mean? But, you know, like Ferg said, man, it's just like the memories. Like, I couldn't see myself, like, I don't know. Like, I just love being from Mobile, especially like around this time. Like, when the beginning of the year hits, I'm like, damn, I'm good. It's my birthday in January. We got the second Llamas ball. You know what I'm saying? I'm like taking like 3 weeks of work off. Like, I hate the post office. And I'll talk about it later.
Yeah, I know.
Man, look. Man, hey, I be using sick leave. I be using veteran leave.
I don't think you're supposed to say that on air, sir.
Ask him. I've been doing it for 5 years now. Ain't nobody called me HR yet.
What you do is,
man, and then you know, like Mardi Gras season rolls around, man. Like I always, you know, I went to school like before I transferred to UAB. I went to Dillard in New Orleans. So like everybody down there, like they like, oh, you know, New Orleans, Mardi Gras, Trump's Mobile. I'm like, man, all right, just sit down, calm down, calm down. Like,
it's not, but like Ferg said, I think Mardi Gras and Mobile is way more family oriented. It's way more family friendly. It's more fun if you're over 25. Let's just be honest with it. Like, it's much, much better. listeners, if y'all can only see. Byron's wife was trying to fix him a drink.
So, you know, for the people, man, why we laughing so much, man, like, Buff's wife is like, he like, hey, babe, I need you to fix me a drink. So, she, so this is the voice that I'm hearing him, like, echo without saying anything. Hey, babe, I need you to fix me a drink. She's like, okay. Yeah. So, she goes over to the drink area, and he's like, hey, add that tonic water. Wait, good.
Yeah.
Add that Grey Goose. She starts to pull. It's like, just a little bit more. She's like, she got heavy handed.
Yes, she did. Like, hey, abort.
He finished.
I had a light breakfast, man. He drinking like
this. And what's crazy is that stuff happens all the time. But because nothing else is going on, she was the center of attention. Okay. Yeah. A little more. Yeah, a little more. Too. We were in it with you, right? We're all like, yeah. Tonic's good.
Rise over that top. He was like,
no. Oh, God. Come on, babe. No.
I'm sorry. We interrupted.
I don't even remember what I was saying.
Family oriented.
Family oriented. 25 and older.
All right. Yeah. Mobile. If you're 25 and over, Mobile is by far a better Mardi Gras for you than New Orleans. New Orleans is great, 18, 20 years old, when you're trying to get drunk, pass out on Bourbon Street, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's cool. Yeah.
Keep going. New Orleans Mardi Gras is awesome. Keep going to New Orleans Mardi Gras. Right?
It's hard enough to get
Mobile like Mardi Gras for the city. That's all it is.
Hey, man.
It is a city... It's a city vacation. It is, people come back. That is probably one of the main reasons people who, like, we all stay out of town, the three of us, we all look forward to coming back. The people I know that stay out of town, if they're going to come back that year, that is probably one of the top three reasons everybody comes back. You know, you going back to Mardi Gras? Yeah, I'm going to go back this year. So it's a city Mardi Gras, like, and it revives the city. Mobile, I love my hometown. But it has its good and its bad. But I think Mardi Gras gives the city what it needs to get through the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of tough stuff going on in the city. So it revives the city. It's like an adult Christmas, right? It has you looking forward to that next year. Like, man, people go to the balls. Like, people who don't really have that much enjoyment on a regular basis find true enjoyment during Mardi Gras. Like you said, when we said this last night, like, that was Fino saying, like you stop drinking Wednesday. It's like, it doesn't stop. The party doesn't stop. So, mm-hmm. Mobile Mardi Gras, don't come. Go to New Orleans. There's nothing to see here. You know, there's nothing to see here. We don't need no more people. Hey, man, go to New Orleans and show the titties. You know.
I took all next week, too.
They did not. When we were in school, we didn't get the whole week off.
Look, I said, my kids off, I'm off.
Yeah.
And I ain't even going to be at home with them jokers. I just don't want to be at work.
My kid's principal is from Mobile. And so when I sent in the little form to say that they were going to be out, I was like, yeah, because Mobile Mardi Gras is more important to school. And she just responded, LOL. And she was like, y'all have fun. She knows.
Say that.
Yeah.
Because you've been saying that all day.
No, I didn't. I put it in the email. I was like, yeah.
Are we supposed to tell them in advance if the kids ain't going to be there?
Yeah. It's an advance. Yeah.
That's new to me.
Y'all ain't do that?
Do we do that?
It's an absence request form you're supposed to put in.
Like you just miss it. We'll figure it out after the fact.
It's so the teachers can give them their homework early, send their stuff home, that type of stuff. Like,
I guess that's why you have kids that are...
they got 96s and 98s, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, that's right. All right, I guess we need to get our priorities straight.
My daughter over here looking at us. Scott over here looking too. Hey, next time you miss school, baby.
We all went to the floor together. We was trying to be grown. So we would like plot our spot out early for Mardi Gras on Fat Tuesday. And we call ourselves trying to grill. None of us knew how to grill. Like, we thought grilling
meant...
We
know how to light it.
We thought grilling meant that the fire, that's when you put the meat on. So whenever the fire died out, we was like, oh, damn.
fire went out. So we tried to relight it. Like, not knowing, stupid, that's what you want to happen. So we always just wind up eating like chips and sandwiches and stuff.
And charred on
the grill, man.
And the thing about it is we did it big. Like, we always had the hookup. We had a homeboy that worked at Winn-Dixie or something, who dating the chick that had that worked at, that was a cashier. And mm-hmm. We were paying 20 cents a pound for ribs and stuff like that. We had slabs of ribs. We had a homeboy who remained unnamed, worked at McDonald's. So we had all the hookup on McDonald's. We had how many pounds and packs of chicken nuggets?
The spicy chicken nuggets? Man, they are delicious. These especially when you cook them at home.
Those are some live New Year's Eve parties we do, man.
But yeah, we didn't understand Mardi Gras right. We didn't understand what the hell we were doing. We had all the checklist stuff going. Like, we had a grill, fire, meat, maybe some seasoning, barbecue sauce.
You know what, though? That's why I call these two and a lot of others that are not here family. Like, we always jokingly say we was trying to be grown. We were just trying to do family stuff, man. That's what families do. They get together on Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, plot out a spot, have a whole bunch of food, everybody come together. We've always tried to do family things, even when we didn't have the money. You know what I'm saying? In high school, we just trying to be grown, man. So love these two brothers and the rest of the family that ain't here, man. So,
definitely.
My bad. We interrupted y'all whole flow.
Yeah.
8.5.
Go. Oh, it's 8.5. I thought 8.2.
I left 8.5. Right, yeah, right. Made me feel a little better. All
right, baby, here's where you at, bro. 1 to 10.
Man, I'm where Verizon is. I'm at an 8, man. I'm still recovering from last night. So
you finally get hot. You coming out that jacket?
Yeah.
That's Levi's fault. Hey, Hess, that's Levi's fault.
Oh, facts. Like, cause after that, after the shots with Levi, I was like, oh, I'm starting to feel this a little too early. I wouldn't expect to feel this way.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Bro, I've been taking shots a long time.
Yeah,
and I always felt comfortable because it's just one shot, right? But it was like 3-4 liquors in one shot. And what was the tricky thing is he put it in an alcohol bottle. So it looked legit-ish. It wasn't like moonshine.
It's somewhat.
Because Rise is like, oh, it's moonshine. It's like, nah. So I'm like, okay. If it was moonshine.
It was in a vodka bottle, but it was brown.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. You had me at a brown vodka, right? That's where we're at. And somehow there was vodka.
Mm-hmm.
There was vodka. There was Hennessy in it.
Tequila. Crown Apple.
And triple sec.
Yep.
All in one shot.
Yeah. And it was dangerously smooth.
Oh, y'all took multiples.
We took two.
Yeah.
Two. Mm-hmm. I just remember, like, we finished the interviews and I was like, yo, I'm not supposed to be filming this yet.
The party hasn't started.
Yeah. Like, the music hadn't come on.
The music, yes.
Like, nobody's in there but us.
That's a fact. That's a good point. The music hadn't started yet.
No. This is a long night.
The DJ wasn't even on the stage.
This is the earliest long night ever.
Yeah. He hadn't flipped the switch or nothing. Like, you know, like, you flip the switch and you start to hear buzzing from the speakers before that. You didn't hear none of that. It was just us. And I was like, yo, this is too early for this. And then it just went up from there. And I remember, we were driving home. My wife was like, hey, you need to let me drive. And I was like, nah, man, I'm good. I got it. And then I was like, nah, I ain't got it.
When you admit you ain't got it, you know there's a problem.
Like, I ain't got it. And I pulled over and let her drive it this morning. I woke up and I was like, yo, I used to be able to do this like a decade ago. And like, I would have been straight the next day. I need a nap. And I had to get a nap before we came here today. Because if not, I'd probably still be struggling.
But also, Levi, when you dive your own shots, so what he didn't did he tell y'all where he went before our Grateful Meals came out, our meals, which were awesome, came out. This is probably like at least an hour and a half before we ate, right? Somebody left
Went
to Crystal. He went and got a sack of Crystals.
Yeah. He said
because he needed substance. He didn't ask anybody else. He asked if we wanted a shot. Right. did he offer any y'all a sack?
No. And the thing is, since he provided us with shots, he should have advised us what we needed to do next. He didn't. And so I'm like, I feel let down. I feel betrayed. Because he knew what to do and sent us down this path, but he didn't advise us what to do next. And I don't know how to feel about that.
And he actually bragged on his crystals. He showed up like, it's up there on the stage. You see?
Man, look, all I know is I just like, at one point, I was just like, oh man, why is this sitting like right on my intestine? I was like, it's not moving, it's not going anywhere. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, my mouth a little dry. I think it's time for me to put my church finger in the air and leave. And I did as such. And I was driving, because I stay in Seal. So I was driving, I was making that little drive to the house, and I was just like, oh Lord, I just need to lay down. Oh Lord. Like, I can't find nobody to talk to. I need somebody to talk to.
And for the listeners, all of our stomachs were like empty. We hadn't eaten
at all
when we took that concoction.
Because that wasn't an original plan, though. Yeah. It caught me off guard.
So I'm going to say what I said last night. I took that shot, and that liquor was like, hello, hello. Like, where's the food to help soak me up? It was not in there.
I took that shot in good faith. I took that shot in good faith that I should trust Brother Levi, that he understands we're in this together. Right? The party hasn't started. We're just we're kicking it off. We were pregame.
Mm-hmm. All I know is he came on, he said, my brother from Wilson's, I'm ready to get y'all drunk. And here go me. Let's do it.
Oh, we didn't hear that part of the conversation.
And I'm looking at the bar, I said, game day? Yeah.
Interesting. I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
Brown vodka.
Yeah.
So he kept calling the game day. I'm like, I'm with it.
So then, like, after we took the first shot, he's like, yeah, I just like the bottle. That ain't what's in there.
Huh?
Man, shout out to Levi Sales, man. The OG, the hostess with the mostest, man. Hey, I'm man. Let's see. We got 2 9s. We got an 8.2, an 8.5. Man, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm at a 10.
Okay,
I'm at a 10. I ain't gotta see the post office for another week. I don't care about nobody mail. I got my W-2s. I got everything I need for my taxes. So if you live in Theodore, I'm sorry for you.
See, you brought up taxes. I'm at a 7.
Look, once upon a time, I looked forward to filing taxes.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like, I'll get to it when I get to it.
Right.
I can't even.
When did it do? But you know what? We were having a conversation about you guys in the postal service just yesterday.
Well, just don't share it with me. I'm sorry.
Don't bring them down.
You're probably the reason we were kind of having that conversation.
Well, you know what? Let's have that conversation then. What do you got to say about us postal workers?
Y'all don't care?
At all. I don't.
A lady refused to deliver our mail because like there was a car parked by the mailbox.
Well, move the car. So you want to inconvenience the mail carrier to get out of their truck?
Yes.
No.
Your job is in the title. You're a delivery person. Like you, out of all the delivery services, you're the laziest. FedEx has to walk to every door. Every package, Amazon, every door.
And you see why they be on your ring camera be throwing your package and kicking them.
Out of 1,000...
FedEx especially, because they hood. FedEx is hood.
You had to.
The headquarters is in Memphis.
Park the truck. You know what I'm saying? Oh,
yeah. Touché, brother.
Yeah, you had to park your truck in. The mailbox is right here.
Is a car right now?
Yes, we had that conversation.
Okay,
right?
Well, move the car.
Well, I don't know if you can speak on this. And if you can't, we can just keep
going. I'll speak on anything.
But while I've been here, I've noticed 3 mail trucks
mm-hmm.
that are just like in empty parking lots, chilling.
Oh, yeah.
What are y'all, is that y'all lunch break? What
nah, man, they just contemplating if they're going to deliver the rest of the mail. I used to be a carrier before I moved this out. Like, I know.
I saw one
like in, is that Clark by Chickasaw? Anyway, mm-hmm. The one was in Clark, just in Clark parking lot. It's a Saturday, so there's no school there. Just chilling. I'm like, are you going to deliver mail or are you just going to chill the rest of the day?
Man,
like,
look, sir, look, hey. So, different carrier routes, some people got like time routes. They get paid by how long they be out there. I know because I used to be on one of them routes. So, sometimes you just pull over like, all right, they clocking me, I'm just going to pull over here for about 5-10 minutes. You do that a couple times, they're going to add up to an hour.
And so there's nobody that says, so you guys really can decide whether or not you deliver the mail or not.
Nah, you don't supposed to, but sometimes you just be like, man, fuck it.
I asked that because on our last episode of Three Brothers No Sex, I read these two brothers' stories of three women that had gotten like random money from DC. They mm-hmm. gave them like 10 grand or whatever. What I didn't tell them is one of the ladies was a mail carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And in her story, because they were supposed to explain how the money affected their lives. And she said, and I quote, I had to learn that sometimes I have to be there for my son and that mail can just wait. And I'm like, what did you say? What do you mean the mail can just wait? So you just say, F that mail. And just
100% agree with her.
So when we wait on stuff, sometimes it's because it just y'all just said F that mail.
You pulled over at Clark.
Nah. I used to pull over at like Winn-Dixie, go in there, get me, you know, something to eat, chill out. I probably, you know, go to the ABC store over there, get a bottle.
Woo, we waiting on stuff, brother.
You go to the ABC store in the mail car?
Woo, we waiting on free stuff, gas.
So let me get this straight. So things change, things evolve. At one point we grew up, you know, the police officers protect and serve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Today, kind of like rain, sleet, or snow. That does that no.
Yes, it matters because look, so I'm gonna tell you like
that.
This.
Ain't your, that no, ain't no, your no, Instagram no, no. tag.
I mean, we'll be out there, like you know what I mean. Like so, you know, I don't know. Like, did y'all brothers go to work during COVID?
Yes,
I work from home.
Home. Lucky you. House Negro.
First time I ever been called that. I did. Ow. Escalated quickly. We got beef with that. This is all jokes. I don't want beef with the people. Put them on the list.
But I say all that to say, W2's gonna get lost in
the mail. Let me call my people out of Texas. His name is Tavares Ferguson. Don't deliver his. No. But no, what I'm saying is like, bro, like we didn't take off. We was considered essential, but not considered essential. Like all the essential people were getting like these extra pay increases. Not the post office, and we had to work like overtime. All that, I got tired of that. I'm sure some people packages came up missing or went somewhere else. I don't care. I was there. But I say all that to say like, hey, we was there, bro. Rain, sleet, snow, COVID.
So you can add that to your resume. So rain, sleet, snow, COVID.
The post office lied because they would put on their website due to COVID.
That was a lie.
I don't think you were supposed to say that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. If they come back and ask me, my PTSD kicked in.
Y'all edit this as y'all see fit.
Hey, man, I'm sorry. But they going to have to figure it out for a week because I ain't in there. And then my postmaster got nervous. Say, well, Kendrick, if we need you Friday, I'll call you. Okay. Okay. I'm gonna look at my phone. I was in urgent care.
Did you see my call? Yeah,
I can't tell you. I've been tired just with the urgent care for my back, sore throat, out for 5 days.
What time can we expect you? You can expect me anytime you like. Whether I show up.
Hey, man, it's a struggle, man. It's a struggle. I already got my exit plan. I hope I get this 100% disability. Mm-hmm. I got my exit plan ready. I got my camera people coming. I'm just going to work that day all night. When everybody get there, I'm just going to stand on the desk, pull my pants down, tell them to kiss my black, walk out the door.
I don't think you're supposed to say that.
Why?
Like now.
Because now it's premeditated.
Like now.
So? PTSD, I can't remember.
I don't think you go. That's PTSD. You can't pre PTSD. It don't work that way.
Wait, for real? I can't do that.
I was standing next to
Ah, jokes. April Fool. I got y'all. I got y'all.
Set y'all up for the
this
last.
Is entertainment.
Hey, we were wild card, man. I was standing next to Bammy's mom yesterday. I think you were interviewing Ferg, and you was talking about, I'll just say, unseasoned chicken. Yeah. And when you finished the interview, Bammy's mom was like, man, we're going to have to edit that. And she said it like, she's so used to doing it when it comes to you.
Look, bro.
She was like,
Should have never gave the Negroes a mic.
It's a lot of times, especially early on, we would do stuff and then just be like, they just look at me like.
So you're the voice of reason.
Like, yeah, like, so your mans, like, what's up with your mans? I'm like, man, I'll talk to him. Just give him some grace. Just give him some grace, please. Like,
sheesh. Yeah, you lack tech. You do lack tech,
yeah,
bro.
So,
you
yeah.
interviewing Ryzen.
Yeah, Ryzen. Yeah.
Said, I'm going to use my media training.
And say, it's been good talking to you.
Oh, good. And I think that was after probably the first Levi shot. So, all...
you two shots in.
Yeah, because we had already taken our shot.
Oh, yeah, so that's PTSD. That's PTSD.
Yeah.
That, you can claim temporary intensity.
Yeah, man. That was Roz, man. Roz was the first person. He's like, ooh, you got good intentions, but you just lack tact. I said, what do you mean I lack tact? While I'm talking to him, I said, what is tact? Oh, I do like
that. Who told
that.
You that? He was lying. I got all the tech you need.
No, we was on the phone. He was like, "Ooh, man, you know, you, it's certain, like you just can't say like you lack tech." I was like, "What do you mean I lack tech?" And he, while he explained, I'm over there Googling. I dare him tell me this. This is true.
Wildin', man.
Oh man, yes, sir. But yeah, all in all, man, I'm at a 10, man. I'm good. You know, it's Mardi Gras. Like I can't, you know, Joe came Sunday. I'm gonna be at the frat house all day. I'm gonna wake up, drink, go down there, drink, go to sleep in the car, wake up again, parade, drink again, fall asleep, go watch Super Bowl. Oh, perfect Sunday.
It is a good Sunday. It's a good Sunday.
That's how I know God is, God loves the bros, and Jesus is a Q.
Wait a minute.
He did say the Alpha and the Omega.
I can assume.
Jesus is a Q?
Yes.
Yeah. So he up there like that?
Man, look.
Wow.
Man, look.
That's dope.
Hey, if they didn't pin his hands down, they would've been like that.
Hey, I'm just gonna let you know, brothers know. I just walked out and walked back in. Your cologne game is on point.
Okay, man.
What you wearing, man?
I got Marc Jacobs Echo Blue. That's what I got on today.
Nice.
Yeah. I know some of y'all, I know you got some on.
I got Bond number 9.
Oh, that's the expensive stuff.
Greenwich Village or something like that. All of their scents is named after something in New York.
Mm. So,
but all of it combined makes a great scent. I walked in and was like, okay. Bottle that.
You wear cologne, sir?
No.
Are you on my scent?
I just, yes.
Well, you know, him being an African prince, like they just have their own musk.
Talk about how he walked in.
Oh, man. Look, hey, you know what? We're gonna talk about the sneaker
bar.
What's
next? You gave us a rundown.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to talk about it.
Hold up.
Where's the agenda?
No, look, we don't stick the scripts over here. This is Wilson's. You know what I mean? But, man, when the good brother Ferg walked in last night, he walked in like Egyptian royalty. Like I'm talking about straight out the sands. You know what I'm saying? Like he walked in like coming to America 3.5.
With the Nigerian prince, he was giving away $1 million.
Brother walked in like all blacked out. Mm-hmm. Right? Did you have on socks? Nope.
We're bringing up old stuff.
No, he ain't too old. That was less than 24 hours ago, brother. We good.
Full tuxedo.
Full tuxedo.
Move forward.
Facebook
story last, what, 24 hours?
Man, look. That thing is still spinning up. That
story still up.
Man, he had a line on his lapel. Man, that good brother looked nice. Mm-hmm. Skin was on oil.
I don't
like look that. Good, good brother. You held it down for us dark skinned gentlemen. I am brother, yes. Smile one time.
Next.
He put us to shame. I felt like a light skinned brother comparing this to you last night. Now, as much as I listen to y'all, you know, podcast, man, I never heard Ferg just like at a loss for words.
Ferg doesn't like talking about himself. So he'll talk about anything else and anybody else except for himself. That's the issue.
Shy bro.
So we can talk about him. So he came in.
I mean, Rozzy did ask a question, I think it was last episode, that had me at Ferg. We were lost. We didn't know how to answer.
Oh, the answer is yes. Yes.
Wiping when you pee, you should.
For kids.
Oh, okay.
For kids.
What's the question?
I was on the phone with Lenny. Mm-hmm. Or I was chilling with Lenny. And he was telling me a story of one of his homeboys that his lady is teaching her nephew to wipe himself after he goes pee.
Wipe what?
Wipe his penis.
Like the little hole?
He's so
low. Right.
Timmy's so low.
It's like, how do we get it? I don't know how to edit this out. Like, what is going?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
So we asked, should guys be wiping after they go number one?
Guess what you got.
Hold on. All right. How deep into this question did y'all get?
Oh, we got a good 20 minutes out of that conversation.
Because they caught us off guard. We've talked about everything under the saying, as you should probably know. And that was a question. I don't know how to respond. I don't know where to go with this.
So
one of the three shakes you're playing with, right? That's the rule of thumb. That's how we grew up.
Alright, so she's teaching him to take one square.
We don't know the square count.
We didn't even get to that part.
So now, see how quickly the conversation become deeper?
So many assumptions were made in that conversation.
I didn't even think about how many squares you use. What's the square count? Use Kleenex?
You got to be at two.
A baby wipe? I don't know. I don't know where you go.
You can't do one square. You got to at least get two and fold it. Like,
I'm going to say, are you folded? And it's like,
I don't know.
It's bald.
I don't. Do you wipe or does he pat?
Like, yeah,
it's like there's questions.
Which you would have, I would think it would be a pet, right?
Pet. Yeah, I would assume
it would be a pet.
How do we get here? Yeah. How do we get here, people?
It would be a pet. You know,
it's wild because women have no idea. Like they have no idea. So it was like what it was Lenny's sister or something.
No, his homeboy's girlfriend.
Right. Teaching doing it her for nephew.
So it wasn't even her son. It was her nephew.
But the answer should be yes.
If I was the homeboy, I'd leave her. Like, that's blasphemy. Like, you just like, okay, little Jeff, once you pee, you shake twice, and then you get the cube, and you just tap it. No, who does that?
Imagine your son coming home the first time, showing what he learned. You're like, what happened? Like, I don't even understand how this is a transition, right? Like, it's... You left the house and you weren't wiping.
Right.
You came back. Wiping. Yeah. Are they teaching this at school? Right. I got questions.
Right.
Like, you know, like it's who taught you this?
So like the tissue is expensive.
Everything is expensive.
And so we're
oh, Lord.
Use extra tissue.
Edit that out, please.
I'm over ordering stuff, so I order Scott.
No.
I order Scott and Angel Soul.
Are you a single ply guy?
No, I like double ply.
I was gonna say single ply. Yeah. Savages.
No, man, like, I had my mom to send me double ply when I was in basic training, and then I was selling it for like $10 a roll. Yeah.
Drill Sergeant let you get the double ply? Because drill sergeant opened all our stuff.
Nah, they opened our stuff. Like, my drill sergeant, I had one from Montgomery. I had another one from Macon. So, you know what I'm saying? They was like, well, who your country? Oh, Bill, you good. So, I ain't having a hard like everybody some basic.
We got two ladies in here right now. Should men be?
Well, I mean, y'all come on to the mic. Y'all can go to the mic. Grab a mic.
No, we shouldn't be wiping.
You don't want to say it on the mic?
Just come over and speak on the mic.
Just talk to the mic.
You don't even have to do that. I just...
Yeah, shake his neck. But it was about kids. I have a 4-year-old son, and I just...
Does he want to come to the mic and say something?
Because he just looked up like, wait a minute.
You talking about me? Dad, you told me to shake that thing.
He was like, do not put my business out here.
The 4-year-old son is like in here right now.
He needs all the help he can get. Because he might not all the way be done. He might like, it might be, you know, so they're not, they're on to the next step. I peed, what's next? Right? And so it's, and I talked about this show like this morning. Yeah. Like he wakes up at night, he goes to the bathroom, and when I take him to school in the morning. So when I'm getting him ready for school, I'm like, did you pee? Like, I'm thinking, did he pee on himself or something like that? But it's more so he probably just half sleep. I'm trying to get back into bed. Mm-hmm. So any drippage or whatever the case, can we say drippage? Is that?
Yeah.
It is what it is. He just in the bed. So they're not accustomed to just making sure that they're all the way, you know. And it happens maybe once every blue moon, but it's just better safe than sorry. But I mean, I just guess this is the price you pay, right? Like, it's, you know, I'm still haven't taught him to wipe.
I'd rather my son smell pissy. I'm sorry.
Like, that's a part of his man.
It's just...
And I'm going to talk about you for smelling pissy so that you won't smell pissy next time.
So they can call him Pissy Ollie, but not Wipey Ollie. Man, I was in the bathroom when I was in there. Pat, 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 pat. So, yeah. So that's... I get it. Like... We're so many bad. Like, that was a consensus. He was bad, right? That was a consensus. But you know, because you know, kids gonna talk about anything. So you know, either he's gonna be like, "Oh, there's a Pissy Ollie," you know. He won't be, you know, he won't be the first Pissy Ollie, right? But you know, Patty Ollie, Pissy is better than Patty.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, piss over Pat. Right?
Oh man!
All right, we're back. I hope you enjoyed that show because I know I did. Everybody around us did, including my kids. So. With that being said, fellas, let's go ahead and close on out. Pardon shots.
Only thing I got, man, I did get a chance to go see Cat Williams this weekend. And so the Dark Matter tour, it is as funny as you thought it would be after watching the Club Shay Shay, especially since he's combining all of his evil powers. I think they're becoming the Legion of Doom or something. But you got Monique on the tour. You got a couple surprise guests. I don't want to give the surprise away, but the comedians are funny on it, man. Some of the new comedians and younger comedians on there are like hilarious. So if you get a chance, go see it. It's a good show, well worth it. I really enjoyed it, but I'm not gonna spoil anything. See, Ferg, I'm getting better at it. So I just wanted to let everybody know it was a good show. And the other thing that I have, man, is one day I want to be as petty as Damon Dash. Because Damon Dash lost a lawsuit, has to sell his portion of Rockefeller Records for $850 million. Jay-Z didn't want it to go to another third party, so he offered him $1.2 million for his share of Rockefeller Records. And Damon Dash said, no, you're not getting it. So...
Is it all it was
the
worth?
The level of petty.
surprised I mean, you it was that cheap.
I don't know. When you think about it, valuation-wise, his ownership of it, and I can see that, it being around that. I mean, multiply by 3, so you're thinking, what, 2.5 million dollars. I mean, I can see that. But, yeah, that's just the level of petty I aspire to be one day, is to be able to say, you know what? This makes sense. This is going to make me an extra $400,000, but I don't care. You can't have it. Nah, 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 nah. I need to be that level of petty.
Nah, 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 nah.
That's all I got, man.
All right, man. Three things. I'm going to try to go through it as quickly as possible. There's a film that's dropping, I believe, later this year. I don't know where. but it's going to be called District of Second Chances. And it's a documentary that follows three gentlemen that have been released from prison under DC's Incarceration Reduction Act. And I found this interesting because usually when there are documentaries about people that have gotten out of jail, it's because, you know, they mistakenly killed somebody or, you know, manslaughter. Like, now, these brothers did, like, one guy killed his friend over a video game, emptied the clip, reloaded, shot him some more. The second guy kidnapped a hotel worker. He was part of a group of guys that kidnapped a hotel worker, put her in a trunk, used her ATM card to get her money, took her to the field and killed her. Like, they are following like some, so it's gonna, I don't know how big it's gonna get, but that's controversial as hell. And the other guy killed somebody over $5. So it's just talking about how they're doing. And for those that are not familiar, the Incarceration Reduction Act is if you were under the age of 24 and you were sentenced to more than 20 years and you've done at least 15 years of that prison sentence, they take into account what were the circumstances when you committed the crime, were you influenced by someone that was much older than you, things like that, and they will consider letting you out. These three men have been let out. And it just follows their journey on how they're trying to redeem themselves and adapting to society. So whenever it drops, I will definitely let you know. District of Second Chances. I think that'll be an interesting documentary to check out. Speaking of DC, also, a gentleman by the name of John Cheeks thought he won $321 million. He goes and they're like, oh, no. Mm-mm. Those numbers you saw were a mistake. we thought we was putting that on our practice website. We made a mistake and put it on the real website, but we've taken it down. This isn't the jackpot number. So now he is suing the DC lottery and I think the Mega Millions, because it's part of the Mega Millions. He's suing them. So it'd be interesting to see if he gets anything. I doubt he will, but it's still an interesting case to go from thinking you got $321 million to nothing. And
that's what make you take yourself out.
He had already started making plans. He had promised a couple of family members how he was gonna hook them up. Oh man, I don't mean to laugh, Mr. Cheeks. I'm sorry, dog.
This whole conversation, I don't mean to laugh, Mr. Cheeks.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hey, yeah, that's horrible.
And the last thing I got, we routinely tell you guys we're from Alabama. And I think Rozzy kind of alluded to this. I know people that have never been to Alabama, they have this certain thought of Alabama, like, you know, we just see racism every day. But generally, growing up in Alabama, we didn't really, like, we pretty much lived what I would think a normal life, whatever. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, Alabama reminds you that they are Alabama. Oof. And the Alabama Supreme Court, with this embryo decision, just reminds you that this is still Alabama. And we elect people that don't realize that embryos help with IVF and help mm-hmm. people actually have babies.
Right.
So you can't come out and say, well, we want more babies, and then be in favor of this ruling. So that's Alabama. And that was just one of those things that reminded me that, oh yeah, we are one of those states that justifiably get made fun of sometimes.
Yeah. Did you see the memo after though? Like the Republican like National Convention or whatever, they like issued a memo and they were like, ooh, we fucked up. Yeah. Like that's essentially what they're saying.
Because we talked about this. That's a loser. Like the Republicans have everything in their favor. But ever since they repealed Roe v. Wade, they've been losing elections because Democrats have been able to use that as their selling point. Mm-hmm. So, and they keep just bringing it back up. Like, I don't understand.
Because Roe v. Wade, I think out of all the things that we talk about a lot, border control and all this stuff, is huge, but it doesn't, people don't see that affecting their daily lives, right? As much. You know, I'm in Texas. It happens, there's things going on, but, you know, I don't see the impact. But being married
you know, knowing people who have wives, sisters, younger daughters, anything like that. When you're talking about appealing abortion and people having to travel across states and like, it's going to be, I'm very interested to see the impact of this in the next 5 to 8 years. Right. And so that's something. And then you throw in something that we can't stop having babies and we can't help to have babies. It's all over the place. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. It's that's something you don't touch. You just let it go. But mine is very, very simple. Hope you fellas are sitting down. Way to go, Fox News. Fox News stopped showing President Trump, whatever his name is, in the middle of his speech during at a South Carolina rally to fact check comments he made this past Friday. One of their commentators spoke over coverage of the former president and meant to tell viewers he's entitled to his opinions. Well, excuse me. And I quote, he's entitled to his opinions. He's not entitled to his own set of facts. The market has indeed been going up, but having nothing to do with him. So he was bragging on the market was going up and all that stuff. And of course he credited himself. And they went into a whole myriad of facts of why it didn't belong to Trump, why Trump had nothing to do with it. They brought off talking about AI and all kind of things. Then they went back to say judges picked by Trump himself found no evidence of rigged election in 7 battleground states. Because once again, Trump brought up the election being stolen and that this was that we have an illegitimate president. And so I don't know if they are distancing themselves. I don't know if it's more so they had a huge lawsuit for supporting false information. And they're like, you know, what was it, like $750 million or something like that? They had a huge lawsuit. So I don't know what it is, but it had me floored when I saw that, you know, because I got a report on my threads is like, oh, Fox News doing a damn thing. So I try to be fair. We get on you when you Fox News, right? When you do what you normally do. But this time, whatever your rationale, your reasoning is, I applaud you for doing what you're supposed to do as a trusted news station. And so that's what you're supposed to do. Not just now, but every time. So
for sure.
And with that being said, I think we're out of here. So 6 rules of podcast, 3 brothers, no sense. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you brothers next week.